On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
In the early 1970s, on the campus of Princeton University in New Jersey in the US, 2 behavioral scientists, John Darley and Daniel Batson, were interested in studying the psychology of why people do good things for others. To examine the question, they decided to study students at Princeton Theological Seminary. In other words, they assumed that these folks who were studying to be ministers would be inclined to do good things. They wanted to see that if when someone is kind to another, that is, if he or she has some innate quality in them that leads them to kindness, or whether it has become us of some situational factor that determines or allows for kind behaviours. So they set up an experiment. Across 3 days, they had a bunch of seminary students come to a building. They met with a researcher, and they filled out a bunch of surveys. And the surveys addressed the reasons why the students were studying to be ministers and why they had faith. Then the participants were asked to prepare a brief talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The participants were then told they needed to walk to a nearby building to meet with another member of the team and to give their talk. Then, by random chance, they were determined to be in 1 of 3 conditions. They were either told, A, they had plenty of time and they were early, B, they were on time, but they were to head over straight away so as not to be late, or C, they were running late and they needed to hurry along. The situation, though, was rigged, and all the participants found a fallen stranger in a narrow alleyway. The stranger was an actor, and his role was to seem sick on the ground and in need of help. And the catch was, the alleyway was only 4 feet across. So to help this person, or to ignore this person, you had to literally step over them. Everything was being secretly monitored. And the results showed that 63% of the participants who told they were early stopped. 45% of those who were on time stopped, and only 10% of those who were late stopped. These were people who were training for ministry. They should have had an inclination to help people, and they just thought about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And yet, it seems their greater concern was getting to an appointment on time, rather than actually stopping to help someone who seemed to be in need. We're continuing to reflect on Luke's gospel, and we've got to the parable of the Good Samaritan. And as we've heard, it is one of those passages of scripture that is leached into wider cultural usage as an example of humanitarian practice. Something I was listening to on the radio this week had the example of someone who did a good deed for another, and they were called a Samaritan. Yet it is a parable that is told by Jesus, which is about more than simply being nice to one another. The parable comes as a result of Jesus being questioned by an expert in religious law. We don't precisely know the reasons why this lawyer comes to see Jesus. It's said he is testing him, but whether it's because he's trying to catch Jesus out, or whether he has a real concern in his life of faith and he wants to see if Jesus can answer, we can't tell. He does, though, ask Jesus a big question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now there's an opening for Jesus, an opportunity for Jesus to share his vision of the kingdom, what it means to be one of his disciples, tell the man all he needs to know. Yet Jesus, as he so often does, asks another question. He wants to tease out some more information about where this lawyer is coming from. So Jesus asks, what is written in the law? And the lawyer answers Jesus' question, whether he knows it or not, with what Jesus has said in other places is his summation of what the whole of the law and the prophets is about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Verses from the Old Testament books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And this double love command is foundational in Jesus' teaching and the Christian church going forward. A disciple's heart needs to be filled with the love of God in order for them to love their neighbour. In response to this answer, Jesus is able to answer the lawyer's first question about how he will inherit eternal life. He says, do this and you will find that life. But this answer sets off another round of questions from the lawyer. And the lawyer wants a definition. Who is my neighbour? And Jesus responds again with the story, which leads to a further question. And he tells this parable. And the setting of the parable is the hot, dry, desolate Judean wilderness and the road that runs between Jerusalem and Jericho. A road that descends 500 metres over the course of its 15 miles. And on this lonely road, a presumably Jewish traveller is ambushed by bandits, beaten, robbed, stripped, left for dead. And this is seemingly a hopeless situation, but then hope appears in the story and a hero rides into view because a priest was a well-to-do member of society, a wealthy man of means, and they would never walk. They would likely be riding some beast of burden, and he would be easily identifiable as well by the clothes he wore. At that time, many priests lived in Jericho, and for the 2 weeks they served in the temple in Jerusalem, they went there. So finding a priest on this road would not be unusual. But seeing this naked man, dead or close to death, puts the priest in a quandary. First, he doesn't know whether the victim is Jewish, and second, he doesn't know whether he's dead. If either was true, touching the man would render him ritually unclean and would mean he would be unable to serve in the temple in Jerusalem if he was on his way there. If he was returning from Jerusalem, he would need to go all the way back, undergo a week of ceremonial purification, and then finally get to go home. So he decides the risk is too great and ignores any possibility of showing compassion and passes by the wounded man on the other side of the road. Hope dips, but then rises again with the appearance of the Levite. And Levites were assistants to the priests. Many of them also lived in Jericho. And you could speculate that this Levite was the assistant to the priest who's just passed by. That's possibly reading too much into things. Whoever he was, he comes to the same conclusion as the priest. He doesn't want to become ritually unclean. He may have seen the priest pass by and thinks, if he's done it, I might as well do it as well. His conscience would be clean. So the Levite ignores any possibility of showing compassion and passes by on the other side of the road. There are many stories where you know the direction things are going to take. There's a priest, a rabbi, and a minister. There's an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman. And the expectation would be, in this sequence of a priest and a Levite, that the third would be a Jewish layman, who also served in the temple. But this is where Jesus introduces the element of surprise in the parable. The third person to come along, just as hope has faded with the exit of the priest and the Levite, is the hated outsider. Jews and Samaritans were bad neighbours. Yet this is a Samaritan who does not cross the road. This is a Samaritan who helps the wounded man. It's a Samaritan who is moved with compassion. It is the Samaritan who becomes the hero, the saving agent in the story. The outsider, the bad neighbour, comes to the rescue. The Samaritan overcomes the failure of the priest and the Levite by treating the man's wounds and transporting him somewhere he could recover. Now, usually we skip over the last part of the parable, but what the Samaritan does here is actually very brave. Because here, deep in Judea, taking a Jewish man who is battered and wounded to an inn which would have been located in a Jewish town would have been a very risky thing for a Samaritan to do. The locals would have looked at them and looked at the Samaritan with vengeance in their minds. And even after spending a night in safety at the inn and paying about 2 weeks' care for the wounded man, just stepping outside the door into the Jewish town in the morning would have been a risk. And we don't know what happened to the Samaritan, as the parable remains silent as to his future. This was a costly and sacrificial act of compassion and love. The parable ends, but the question of Jesus is the follow-up. Which of these three do you think was the neighbour? Which is in fact a deeper question, and that question is, to whom must I become a neighbour? The parable forces the lawyer into an answer that he doesn't want to give. He wanted Jesus to say that his neighbour was someone who upheld the law, someone who was righteous, or just a nice bland answer like anyone. But no, Jesus forces the lawyer to face up to the reality of his bad neighbour being his good neighbour. And worse, that he was to become like the Samaritan. And the lawyer cannot even bring the name Samaritan to his lips, but instead says, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus simply says, to end this exchange, go and do likewise. And Jesus' words to the lawyer are Jesus' words to us. Go and do likewise. Loving God means loving your neighbour. You cannot do one without being drawn into doing the other. If you do not love your neighbour, then you are not fully loving God. You cannot come to worship God fully on a Sunday or any day and then ignore those who are in need. Jesus sets the lawyer an impossible task in order to inherit eternal life. It's something that he cannot actually do in his own strength. What Jesus asks of him to do, love God and love neighbour, is completely impossible by human effort alone. We cannot keep any aspects of the law by our own efforts, even loving God and loving our neighbour, which is the most succinct aspect of it. We always need the grace and Spirit of God in our lives to help us overcome our weakness so we can live in the ways of God. As we would understand things, the lawyer would need to come to faith in Jesus and know grace first in order to achieve this impossible task and find eternal life that he so eagerly desires. But Jesus knew the reason this lawyer could not love his neighbour had nothing to do with his lack of the grace or the Spirit. He knew his inability to fully love his neighbour was down to the fact that he had an inadequate definition of who his neighbour was, as did everyone in Israel at the time. They thought their neighbour was everyone who was just like them. They thought they should only love those who it was easy to love, or easier to love, because no one's 100% easy to love. They forgot that after the passage in Leviticus chapter 19 that says, love your neighbour as yourself, it goes on later in the chapter to say the foreigner residing among you must be treated as native born. Love them as yourself. Your neighbour was always supposed to be everyone. Yet this had got lost in the closeted and blinkered world of Judaism at the time of Jesus. And Jesus wants to burst this bubble. He wants to fracture the parochial view that humanity has of our nice little social circles. Jesus wants everyone to move beyond relating to just those whom it's easy to love, whom we're similar to, who are like ourselves, and reach out in love and compassion to those whom we feel we are different to, at odds with. In telling the parable to the lawyer, Jesus is not only saying that the Samaritans are the lawyer's neighbours, but he's also saying that the lawyer should become like the Samaritan. The Samaritan is the example to copy. It would be like Jesus telling us a parable and we were to follow the example of a Muslim or a Hindu in the compassion that they show. It's not saying that we have to believe what they do. Jesus is not telling the lawyer that he needs to believe what the Samaritan does, but that here in the Samaritan, Jesus sees an example of compassion that he would love to have seen in a faithful Jewish believer. And he's seen far too little of that so far. I've certainly seen people of no faith or of other faith show responses of compassion at times beyond that which followers of Jesus have mustered. There are, of course, many Christians as well who respond in extravagant compassion. But here in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we find the finest example of showing compassion in the whole of Scripture. And it comes from the hated outsider. And it should be an example that we set our response of compassion against as followers of Jesus. But the compassion of our time and world is beyond that even of someone who is of a different faith background, because the Samaritans were not just bad neighbours, they were considered the enemies of the Jews. If Jesus told the parable today to, say, a Ukrainian, would a Russian be the Samaritan? Because this parable is about loving enemies as well as neighbours. Words that Jesus shares in the Sermon on the Mount, loving those we would be least willing to love. Who is it that you find least easy to love? Who would you call your enemy? In seeking to apply the parable of the Good Samaritan as followers of Jesus, it is about more than just doing good things to people. In the parable, it is said that the Samaritan took pity on the wounded man. But a more accurate translation is that he had compassion upon him. And in the Gospels, we have that favourite refrain of mine, that Jesus' heart went out in compassion to people. And the Samaritan acts in a Jesus-like way. And in our acts of neighbourly love and compassion, we will be seeking to act in a Jesus-like way. It's an act of purposeful discipleship, acting in the way and name of Jesus for his glory and honour. So what will it mean for us to go and do likewise? It means that we do not step over, that we do not walk past, that we do not ignore, that we do not choose holiness over compassion, but that we do likewise. In discovering what go and do likewise looks like in our lives, we will learn who our neighbours truly are. Learn that anyone, regardless of language, religion, ethnicity, anyone who is in need, anyone of any economic situation, lifestyle choice, sexual orientation, or disagreeable temperament, is our neighbour. Our neighbour is simply someone who needs to know the love and compassion of God, which can be shown through our love and compassionate action in their lives. In the end, there should be no excuse for us showing a loveless response to others if we have come to know the love of God in our lives. The Good Samaritan offers us a costly example of unexpected love. The Samaritan risks his life by transporting a wounded Jew to a Jewish town. Our acts of neighbourly love might be like that of the Samaritan. They may cost us. They may be risky. They may be sacrificial. We, though, extend costly acts of love to others out of gratitude for God's love to us. But they will mirror the way that Christ has shown his love for us. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a timeless challenge to us as followers of Jesus today. The parable underscores that compassion, mercy, and love are key factors in living for God as Jesus' disciples. Followers of Jesus must put love of neighbour into action, show acts of neighbourly love and compassion in the way and name of Jesus for his glory and honour. Jesus says, go and do likewise. But we may translate this into the branding of Nike that simply says, just do it. Let's pray. Father God, may our love for you flow out of us and flow into love of our neighbour, love of those in need. Overflow in compassion, mercy. Overflow to bring healing and hope. Overflow into our communities. Overflow so that your glory, that your name will be known. We pray this in the name of your Son and in the power of your Spirit. Amen.